With the government still shut down and politicians in seemingly intractable stalemate, President Trump is looking for other ways to fund a border wall. One of those ways might be to tap military funds. But some prominent lawmakers, including some Republicans, are not happy about that idea. Federal News Network's Scott Massioni joins me with more. First of all, Scott, what are some of the specific options the president is talking about?
Right. Well, right now there's the all the drama going on with Congress. So that obviously is not going anywhere at this point. We're still in the shutdown. We're going on 3 weeks here. So the next option for that would be the possibility of declaring a national emergency. That national emergency would then kind of open up a spring of defense funds that the president might be able to use in order to build this border wall that he's been proposing, and use the $5.7 billion from defense funds for that wall.
Now, would he use standard base budget funds, or would he use OCO, Overseas Contingency Operations funds? I guess if it's one inch into Mexico, then it's overseas or something.
Right. Yeah, no, this would come actually from military construction. And it would come, so it's either military construction. There's also some counter-narcotics funds that could be possibly used. And they would be unobligated funds from the 2018 budget. So actually what they have right now is about $16.4 billion in MILCON that is unobligated at this point. So the possibility of that, I mean, you could really take that money and use it to build a lot more than what he has already asked for. But at this point, he's only asked for $5.7 billion.
Because as you've reported all year, the Navy, the Air Force, I guess all of the armed services have pretty pressing construction requirements. Old Navy bases that are falling apart and so on, and housing needs to be updated here and there. I mean, they need that money for military construction, correct?
That's right. And that's where a lot of the dissent for this option is coming out. And there's even a handful of Republicans who are in very Trump-like districts who are just saying, you know, this is something that clearly we can't do. One of the more prominent ones is Mac Thornberry, the representative from Texas, who's now the ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee. And basically, he said that he doesn't want to spend money that they have already put out for military construction for the wall. He wants that to go toward military construction. He expects that the troops have these issues and that they should be fixed, and not that money for border security should go to border security, and that money for defense should go toward defense.
And I'm presuming that Adam Smith, the new chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, would be in the same camp as Thornberry, even more so.
Right. Yeah. Him being a Democrat, I'm sure that he has plenty of other reasons that he doesn't want any wall at all. But he certainly doesn't want some of the defense funds to be going toward that as well.
And what about on the Senate side?
The Senate side, we haven't heard too much about the defense side of things. Jim Inhofe is the chair, and he's from Oklahoma, so solidly Republican district that is very immigration-minded. So that's another thing that for them to think about, at least, but I don't think that he has said anything at this point.
All right. And so, of course, Congress, if there is a national emergency, we don't know yet. I guess the legalities are disputed on whether the president can go ahead and do that. If it turns out that he can legally, then I guess there's nothing Congress can really do about his tapping those funds.
Right. Well, the only other option would be for them to pass a law overriding that. But the current national emergency law gives him the authority to do this. It also gives him the authority to divert funds from the Army, any civil works projects that they have that are not for national security, and just completely stop those, take the money and put it toward what they need for national security. But, you know, as you were talking about before, I just wanted to highlight some of the infrastructure issues that
I wanted to ask you about that. What are some of the specifics they've got their eyes on?
Right. Well, I mean, about 20% of DOD facilities at this point are in failing condition. And it's not just Mac Thornberry, one of the things he mentioned when he was talking was he said that he's gone to barracks that there's mold growing out of the ceiling, or they have to evacuate people. There's repair facilities from the 1950s. I mean, you know, they can't even get their trucks in to fit them in some of these buildings just because they're so old and they don't fit the parameters of recent weapon systems. So it's not just Mac Thornberry saying this. The Government Accountability Office regularly finds issues with military facilities. I mean, they have service members that describe poor conditions in facilities, heating and cooling system problems, all that kind of stuff. And then the Army alone needs $11 billion just to fill their backlog of facilities, maintenance issues, and things like that. So, and that's not to mention the cybersecurity issue that the Army and all the military services themselves have not addressed at all, which is, you know, HVAC systems and things like that. There's no cybersecurity for those. They could easily be tapped into and hacked.
So cyber issues, in some sense, budgeting for them comes under construction.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's very interwoven into a lot of things. And, you know, military construction also has its own appropriations bill. It's a completely separate one from the defense appropriations bill. It goes in with Veterans Affairs. So, you know, it's a whole different slew of people that are thinking about it as well.
We're speaking with Federal News Network Scott Massioni. And you said that the funds left available, $16 billion, are unobligated. That means they're from prior years. Tell us more about the priorities for the coming year.
Well, they got a little bit more money than they expected. They were asking for more money just purely because there's issues. Some of the things that they're really focusing on, a lot of Navy yards, you know, shipbuilding, ship maintenance, or some of that's, you know, that's a little outside of the facilities area, but where they build the ships is a big area. Barracks themselves, one thing that the Army is really working on because they got hit earlier in the 2018 because of this is lead paint. They had a ton of lead paint in their barracks and in some of these bases, and kids were getting sick. So plenty of things for them to work on, not to mention just straight readiness things. So there's a lot that they have to address.
Okay, and while we have you, Scott, I wanted to switch gears for a minute. You're reporting that there are some conflict of interest issues with the new acting defense secretary. We know he was a former Boeing executive. What's going on there?
That's right. Well, Jim Mattis, as you know, stepped down. And at the beginning of the year, Patrick Shanahan became the acting Secretary of Defense. So as that Secretary of Defense, like you said, he was at Boeing for a very long time. He has said that he's going to recuse himself from any Boeing-type negotiations, things like that. And others are just worried that he won't be objective when it comes to negotiations with other companies that are not Boeing. Another issue is that he's just going to have to, at what point do you recuse yourself when it's one of the biggest defense companies and they're working constantly with DOD, right? So he's going to have to be really conscious of everything that's going on. Mac Thornberry, he said that he wasn't too concerned about it, but, you know, there's also that issue of really Boeing seeps into everything in defense. So,
in fact, just yesterday, they accepted the first tanker. It's got a lot of problems. It's not really refuelable yet at this point, but it does fly and it does have a boom on it and it does hold kerosene. And so they're deep into Boeing negotiations right now, the Air Force is.
Right. And so clearly he's going to be working with Boeing a lot. So one thing to keep an eye on, one thing to see how much he actually recuses himself and how much he actually plays the part. The other thing is that he basically has almost a year that he can just be an acting director till someone needs to be nominated. And after that, we'll have to see who is nominated.
Well, the great Robert S. McNamara came from Ford Motor Company. He was president there about 3 months before he left and became the Secretary of Defense. And I guess maybe Ford didn't build tanks or anything in those days.
True.
Federal News Network, Scott Massioni, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Check out his story at federalnewsnetwork.com. Still ahead on Federal News Radio, it's 2019 and federal IT still isn't the change agent for better government. Its practitioners want it to be. But first, one federal contractor explains what it's like as the shutdown approaches historic length. It's the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network.